The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another SB Nation NFL show. I'm Rob Stats-Guerrero from Niners Nation, alongside RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys and Brandon Lee Gowden from Bleeding Green Nation. BLG, what's up, sir?
Well, I'm back this week after an unfortunate absence last week. I know people were devastated that I was not there. Sorry I let everyone down. I figured out the Josh Freeman start before we were talking before the show about some random trivia from the NFL, and it was actually against the Giants in 2013, October 21st. So there you go.
We weren't talking about it. I was figuring it all out, and you were getting everything wrong, but congratulations. You did get to the end of this particular rainbow. So shout out to you, Brandon. Shout out to you, Stats. You look very handsome today, Rob.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. If you are new to the show today, you'll see me ignore random things from RJ. Plus, we'll also preview every game of the Sunday slate. We'll do our pick three locks of the week and all of that. But before we get to it, gentlemen, we got to recap Thursday night football. Titans handle the Packers fairly easily, 27-17. Green Bay has lost 6 of their last 7 games. The Titans have won 7 of their last 8 games. RJ, where do you want to start? You want to start positive with Tennessee or negative with Green Bay?
I mean, you know, Green Bay lives in my mind rent-free, so I feel like we kind of have to start there. Looking back, I wanted the Cowboys game against the Packers, and it obviously didn't happen, but looking back, it was so obvious that it was going to be this, like, you know, Super Bowl for them, right? And that like, consider the McCarthy, the Rodgers of it all, and Justice Mosqueda did a great job of kind of, like, being point-blank honest about that, right? Like, I really do think that Aaron Rodgers is like, who cares? We suck. We lost to the Titans, but we beat McCarthy, all right? Like, I forever get to write this story the way that I want to. This is not a good team, and that's why, like, I didn't leave Sunday's game, you know, between the Cowboys and Packers thinking that the Packers had righted the ship, and I think they ran into a competent team, a team that's a little bit, you know, more tough and kind of willing to go the distance than they are. And I think that was just kind of what played itself out. It was kind of boring, but it was kind of, you know, obvious, I think, from the surface.
Packers have lost, what, 6 out of their last 7? That's what you said, Stats?
Yeah, I believe 6 out of their last 7, yep.
Who's the team they beat again?
That would be the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. All right. I take this more as a positive for the Titans. I mean, the Packers just are what they are. Not a good football team. Vibes are bad. We've said that time and time again. I mean, they were down 28-14 too in the Cowboys game. They weren't, like, playing well. Like, they had a comeback. Sure, they won in overtime, but, like, not playing good football. On the whole, the Titans, after a slow start to the season, playing pretty good football. Titans have not given up more than 17 points in regulation since week 3. Like, this defense is playing very well. There was this whole kind of like, oh, the Titans aren't a respectable number one seed last year. And I think there was some validity to that. But I think that got, like, it was too easily dismissed at the beginning of this year. It's like, oh, they're just bad now. And certainly playing in the AFC South helps them. But look, I mean, Mike Vrabel is one of the best head coaches in the NFL. That is a real thing. I think the Titans team every single week, they grind it out. They're a tough team. They might not be the best team in the league, but they're a tough team to play week in and week out. Other than, like, getting blown out by the Bills earlier this season, they bring a fight every single week.
Mike Vrabel is 10-2 when his team is on short rest. That's pretty damn impressive. They're playing good football right now. Treylon Burks actually looked like, you know, what you think Tennessee saw on him.
The NFL said Treylon Burks was terrible. He needed it. And what was the inhaler story or whatever? What was the situation?
Well, he still may be terrible, but he did have a good game last night. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He had a good game last night. And clearly that's what Tennessee saw in him, obviously, when they drafted him. And they deserve all the credit. I'm here for that. You should be happy if you're a Titans fan. I get it. But even if they're the number one seed again, RJ, do you think Tennessee can win the Super Bowl? I think they have no chance to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, you know, I think that if you're a good team and you get to the playoffs consistently, I think sometimes, you know, fate smiles upon you. And I think the Titans are kind of an example of that, rather. They've been knocking on the door for a long time. We talk so much about, like, this, you know, Team X should be able to capitalize on their crappy division and you know, get into the tournament, you know, over and over and over again. The Titans have kind of done that, right? Like in the Mike Vrabel era. Like,
you didn't answer my question.
I think they can, right? Like, do we know who their three losses are to? Brandon mentioned the Bills. They lost to the Chiefs and they lost to the Giants. I mean, when we all thought that was really embarrassing, like, they might have the most respectable losses in the NFL this year, like on average. And so, why couldn't they? I mean, you know, this is a season, and you talked about this, you know, on Wednesday show stats. I loved how you mentioned that. I don't want to butcher it. The average yards per carry is the highest it's ever been at this point of the season. And correct, this is the lowest yards per attempt that quarterbacks are averaging since, like, what was it, 1963 or something like that?
Lowest yards per completion since 1933, which was the first year they ever played playoff games in the NFL.
So again, like, I think the Titans could like proverbially win the Super Bowl any year, but in this particular year, sure, totally, it's not impossible at all. I mean, like, they're, you got to be tough and all the like cliche things, but you got to be good. And I think that they are all of those, and they have the easiest path, maybe outside of the Vikings now with the way the Packers are playing, to securing a playoff berth. So yeah, I think they can win the Super Bowl. I know that was your question, Stats, but I did want to touch on one thing on Aaron Rodgers. Does anybody know how many times he threw the ball last night on the subject of completions? Just attempts.
I do not.
He had 39 pass attempts. All right. Does anybody know the fewest amount of attempts he has had in the game this season? Or what would you guess that figure is?
23?
It was 20. Okay. His second fewest times passing the ball was 25 attempts against the Bears in week 2. So that's fine. But he threw the ball only 20 times on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. He had a 70% completion percentage. That was his highest since week 3 when they went to Tampa Bay. I mean, again, you know, it's so clear and obvious. And like, I'm a bitter Cowboys fan, whatever, but it was so clear and obvious that they adjusted their game plan to win, right? They wanted to beat the Cowboys. In fact, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, on the sideline barking at Matt LaFleur for not running the ball. Aaron Rodgers is screaming about not running the ball. And here we go, you know, 5 days later, 4 days later, whatever. And it's like, oh, no, the Aaron Rodgers show must commence again. Mm-hmm. I must throw the ball 1,000 times so I can get my gaudy numbers. And I think that's what's plaguing them.
I don't think that's the whole story.
It's part of it.
Jim Schwartz is a senior defensive assistant for the Titans, former Eagles defensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl. And Jim Schwartz's MO is like, stop the run. Like, they come into the game, they want to stop the run, and want to tee off on the quarterback. So I think part of that is what the Titans have been able to do. I want to say about Vrabel, another point on him. Since he was hired in 2018, Tennessee is the best team in the NFL straight up as an underdog at 22-16. So I think he's almost become like the new Tomlin. Like, we always say, like, don't bet against Mike Tomlin as an underdog. Typically, Titans have similar kind of toughness to them in that regard. I think it's impossible they could win the Super Bowl. I don't think it's likely. I think the realistic assessment of them is they're like one of the teams you don't want to play, because I think they generally play to their level of competition, and it's going to be a tough game. Like, again, you might be the better team, but it's not going to be like an easy win. I just think they're a team that you don't want to see in your schedule. It's going to be just a grinded out game.
I totally agree with that. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was the Blazers in the NBA had a record. They made the playoffs like 22 straight years, but there was never a year where they were a real threat to win the NBA championship. I feel like that's who the Titans are. They're a solid team. They'll, if you're not on your stuff, they will beat you. They'll get to the playoffs every year. They'll play you hard in the playoffs. It'll be a tough game, but they're going to lose. Like, I don't fear the Tennessee Titans in any way, especially coming out of the AFC.
more annoying than scary is how I would put it. Yes. Yeah.
They're the Tracy McGrady of, you know, the NFL. He had never made it out of the first round until that like last kind of ring chasing tour with the Spurs. I think y'all are being just a tad disrespectful, not, you know, overly disrespectful the way you've been towards, say, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens before. But like, who has
winning in the playoffs?
But like, okay, so the
my MVP pick this year,
he beat this team in the playoffs, by the way. But so, like, there's a wide gap between the Chiefs and the Titans, right? Like in the AFC playoff picture. But like, where's I mean, and I'm not like down on the Bills, but like we've seen the Bills, you know, look weak. Like, is there a wide gap? And there's a wide gap between the Chiefs and everybody. To be very clear, like that's not like specific to the Titans. Who, like, where else is there a wide gap? I mean, why like, who would you say like they have absolutely no chance against in the playoffs on the AFC side? Cincinnati, of course they have a chance. Buffalo, they have a chance. Baltimore, they have a chance.
Everybody's
Miami,
got a chance. It's the NFL.
No, but y'all are saying like they're annoying. They're not a real contender. Like they're definitely in the mix.
In the mix for what?
To win the Super Bowl. Why would they
want to make that bet? You want to make that bet right now?
No. Well, what's the bet? Like, give me some odds. Like, if the odds is the Titans or the field, of course I'm not taking the Titans. But like, they're totally in the mix. My bet, they will make.
Yeah, they're in the mix. I don't think we're saying they're not in the mix.
How many teams in the AFC are unequivocally better than them? Like 100%. Like Chiefs. you can't even entertain the. Okay, so the Chiefs.
The question is, you can't even entertain the argument
that this isn't true.
Bills, Chiefs. I would put the Ravens ahead of them right now. So at least three. Dolphins, definitely Dolphins.
I don't think you can say that the Ravens and Dolphins are both unequivocally better.
Oh, my gosh. This is false. Okay. If you want to take teams, if you want to take a victory lap on teams, by the way, because I know you want to do that, the Vikings. I mean, wasn't I like dead on about the Dolphins? They haven't lost a game to us.
This is about
well.
The Titans, not about Brandon.
You just so, said. So, you just I said. Mean, who's I think the Dolphins are absolutely should be.
But like I'm talking about like if we divvy a pie, like if there's 100% like of chips to assign, I think the Chiefs are 100% better than the Titans. Right. Like if we divvied it up, Kansas City would get 100% of that pie. I think if the exercise is the same, maybe Miami and Baltimore are better. But I think it's not quite 51-49 or it's maybe 60-40. Like, again, the gap is much closer there. Like they're not on the same plane as Kansas City relative to Tennessee.
I just don't know what your overall point is. Like, they're not a bad team. Well, they're a good team, but they're just not a team, a threat to win the Super Bowl. That's all.
So you guys don't think they are capable of winning the Super Bowl at all?
I think they're in the mix. Well, I would say they're not a favorite.
But that's not the question. The question that Stats asked was, can they win the Super Bowl? And so we all asked. And then y'all had to drag them afterwards.
But I don't think it is. I think it is. They're not like a top even four most likely team to do that in the AFC.
With disrespect. They almost beat the Chiefs, mind you, completing five passes.
Yeah, okay.
Sweet.
It was a weird game.
So, like, why couldn't they? Like, why
they
couldn't
almost they, won, a.k.a. they lost. But like, again, what are we talking about?
That's important context. Y'all are sleeping so much on the Titans.
I think, but that's the thing, though. I think that's a given game. I like their chances in a given game, but I just think over a extended run of playoffs, I just don't believe in that as much.
Yep, exactly. Wow. But congrats, Tennessee. Look, like I said, if you're a Titans fan, you should be happy right now. You've won 7 of your last 8. You're 7-3 on the year. You should be happy. And if you're a Tennessee fan, I think you go into the playoffs, you say, hey, look, we'll take our chances once we get there. And I get that. I absolutely get that. But if you're just asking me, am I scared of them? Do I think they go in the Super Bowl? No, I don't. I think those are two separate things.
Remember, I had your back, Tennessee. Remember, yeah. Only me.
The North remembers. Tennessee remembers.
They're the South. I don't know if you know what they're playing.
I was referencing. No,
you literally got it wrong. It's okay.
I was literally referencing the show, which is the North.
So. The show that is not what we're doing here. This is the, I don't know. This is the SB Nation NFL show. Stats. This is.
Oh, really? Show. Okay. Great.
Pick me. 1, 2, 3.
Pick one.
On three.
Pick three. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
We're going to take a quick break in a minute, but before we do, let's do our pick three, which is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. There's only one among us last week who won their lock of the week, and that, believe it or not, is me. Wow. Who has been terrible with the picks all year. It's only my second correct lock that I've picked all season. I had the Dolphins -3.5 over the Browns. RJ, you took the Bears over the Lions And BLG, you took the Cowboys over the Packers. So tough week for you, but BLG, congrats. You are still 7-3 on the year. RJ is 5-4-1. I am just 2-6-2. So Brandon, you have honors. Where are you going this week?
Yeah, I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles. Wow, what a surprise. I think people are overreacting to both the Eagles' loss, where they had three turnovers, which are, I would say, not characteristic. They were due for some, for sure, regression and all that. I don't think that's like a long-term problem moving forward. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about the Eagles' run defense being an issue. They just added Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. I don't know how much those guys are going to be ready to play this week. Run defense, like, it's kind of a weird discussion with this team because they certainly are not a good run defense. At the same time, they only allowed like 3.1 per carry against the Commanders. So I think that's being a little bit overblown. I know Jonathan Taylor is back to form, but I think people are also overreacting to Jeff Saturday leading the Colts to a victory last week when the Raiders are just an atrocious team. Got shut out by the Saints, who just lost by 10 points to the Steelers. They're not a good team. So I think the line is kind of a little out of whack for this game. It's 7 points. These are favored by 7 on the road. I think that's something they absolutely can cover. I think they can win by double digits. They bounce back this week, win, advance to 9-1. All is well. Lock of the week.
RJ?
I'll say my thoughts for the Eagles and Colts when we get to that game later on. I'm staying in the division for my lock of the week. It isn't chasing an emotion the way this appears to be coming off the heels of Philadelphia being exposed for the frauds that they are. But in all seriousness, the New York Giants are a bit of a lucky team. Bill Barnwell had a great article this week at ESPN kind of examining the idea of luck. And I think we all understand that isn't to take anything away from the Giants. And I do think that, you know, on the subject of regression, that regression is coming for them in a certain way. I don't know if you know the stats. We've talked about this on the NFC East mixtape. After this week, the Giants play 5 NFC East games in a row, including they are Washington's opponent 2 straight games. The Commanders do have their bye sandwiched in between that.
That's
but it is
terrible.
It's stupid. But anyway, you know, that will be a bit of a reckoning, I think, for the Giants. Not that they'll lose every game, but certainly a tougher stretch than what they've experienced so far. But that, you know, that exposing will not happen this week because they will expose Dan Campbell for the frauds that the Lions are. I have not been impressed in any Lions victory this year. Like nothing the Lions have done has been like, there it is. They are on track. No, this is the same team. It's just got a little bit more like, you know, on the top as far as the story, like the cover of the book is one of those, like when you're a kid and it has like some sort of interactive feature. It is a cheeky, you know, sitcom. That's what the Detroit Lions are. They aren't a real football team in my mind. So I will take the New York Giants by 3. That is so disrespectful to the Giants. Like, they are so well coached compared to the Detroit Lions. We all believe or don't believe in the talent that the Giants have, that they got going on. And I don't think they can continue to pull rabbits out of their hat every single fourth quarter, but they won't need to against this Giants team. So give me, they won't need to against this Lions team. Give me the Giants.
Yeah, I thought the spread was wrong when I read it. I was like, wait a minute, the Giants are getting points against the Lions? That seemed really weird to me. I totally agree, RJ. I'm going to go on Monday night. I'm going to take the Cardinals +8 over the 49ers in Mexico City. Over the last 3 years, the Niners are just 3-3 against the Cardinals. They always have difficulty with them. The fact that I'm getting 8 points in this one, I get more than a touchdown, even if the 49ers win. If you go back and look at those games, it's come by an average of 7 points. So even when they beat the Cardinals, they do not beat them by 9 points. So I will take Arizona, and I will feel very, very comfortable with it, whether it's in Mexico City, San Francisco, Arizona, on the moon. I think the Niners are going to win, but I don't think that they are going to cover the spread. So I will take the Cardinals happily and 8 points. Now, moving on to the same game parlay. The only one that was correct in his same game parlay pick last week was RJ, who had Dak over 249.5 passing yards. BLG, you and I stunk it up. So now we are all tied at 4-6 on our same game parlay picks for the year. BLG, I will go to you first. What is your same game parlay pick? We're going to go with Cowboys Vikings.
Yeah. RJ's mad for some reason.
I'm the only one who got it right last week, and we're tied. So, like, the tiebreaker should go to me. I should get to go first here. Whatever.
Anyway, I'm going to take the Cowboys to lose a fumble. A random thing to pick. But we talked about regression a bit here in the locks. Cowboys have fumbled fewer times than any team in the league this year, just 0.7 times per game best rate. Some luck involved there for sure. So I feel like the Cowboys are due for a fumble, and they're going to lose a fumble, and might hurt them.
Interesting how the Cowboys are due for fumbles to come their way, but the Eagles can withstand that regression. It'll be totally fine. It's not going to happen there because it's totally different.
It already did.
Right. It will only happen one game and never again for the Eagles. Interesting. Anyway, last week, you know, I thought it was so interesting in the Munich game when Chris Godwin scored. Not that I doubted it, but it was like, well, that's Chris Godwin's first touchdown of the season. I was like, holy crap. Like, it just, you know, it's like one of those like weird things that like you kind of know, but didn't know. And a similar sort of thing, and an even stronger point for me specifically, Dalton Schultz caught a touchdown for the Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers. First touchdown of the season for Schultz, an important year for him. He's on the franchise tag, missed time early on, had Dak missed time. So that really has impacted, I think we all think, his earning ability in the offseason. But that being said, he's kind of heating up. He did have a more involved game for the Cowboys against the Bears before their bye. Things kind of coalescing and kind of, you know, finding the norm between Dak and Schultz. Anytime touchdown score, I'm taking Dalton Schultz at +310. I don't think the odds will be this favorable at any point across the rest of the season, just because they are kind of finding their form together.
I'm going to go a different route in this one. And I'm trying to find a way to eke out a win here. This is sort of a weird bet for me, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I'm going to go Vikings to have a scoreless quarter. It's definitely weird, but I saw something that was sort of floating around the internet this week that I slacked to you guys. If you look at the Vikings point differential by game time, it is remarkable how consistent they are. If you just look at that one statistic, basically they start great. They kind of maintain through the middle of the first quarter to about the 2-minute warning in the second quarter. And then all of a sudden from that point on, they just kind of collapse. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And then they have to dig themselves out of this hole in the fourth quarter. So I'm going to take Vikings to have a scoreless quarter. I don't have to predict this, but if I had to nail it down, I would say the third quarter, they'll be scoreless.
Okay.
And then I think that they'll, you know, in the end, they'll be there battling it out with the Cowboys. And, you know, it'll be 2-minute drive. Kirk has the ball, chance to tie the game. It seems like it happens every single week. Now, to their credit, the Vikings have been doing it, but I'm going to take them to have a scoreless quarter. I know that may be crazy. Am I crazy?
I think it's a fun parlay to root for this week, like different things. Not like just the, you know, okay, this guy scores a touchdown this many yards, you know, trying to get creative with it.
I think, you know, Minnesota's had to come back from big, you know, deficits each of the last 2 weeks. And you only fall into big deficits by having generally, you know, maybe not a scoreless quarter, but a low scoring quarter, something like that. You know, it's the right combination of events. Cowboys defense kind of sick of getting run all over. I do think if it's the third quarter, I know that that's not part of this for you, but I'd like the fun of rooting for a specific quarter. Depends on the coin toss, right? If things go the Cowboys way and they defer at the beginning of the game, you know, that impacts what, you know, what quarter this specifically falls in. Again, I understand that's not part of the parlay, but still, you said the third quarter. If you get the third quarter specifically, we'll give you an internet high five.
I'll take it. I'll happily take that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will run through all the games. There's weird stuff happening in Buffalo. That's where we're going to start. If they can even get there to play the game, we'll explain when we come back.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Back here on the SB Nation NFL show, we are going to give you our thoughts on every game of the week, unless one of us gets zapped, in which case you cannot give any thoughts on the game other than who you think will win. RJ, I'll start with you. We're going to start with Browns and Bills. This game is going to be played in Detroit because they're getting so much snow in Western New York. The Bills are favored by 7.5, but we don't know if they can make it to the game. Josina Anderson tweeted today, league source on the Bills snow, quote, "This is a major impact. There's currently a travel ban. Still waiting to hear on timing of today's Zoom meeting. Snow is coming down hard right now. I don't know what's the contingency if everyone can't make it to the airport or we can't fly out. It is crazy what's happening in Buffalo, RJ.
An important note, just for context, so everyone is aware, it's not like they could, you know, we've seen the NFL move games. The Bills play on Thanksgiving, and that's obviously Thursday, so they can't play this Monday or Thursday. Already a short week for the Bills in that sense. Look, I said this on Monday Football Monday. I love Josh Allen. I have made that very clear here. But, man, I do not think he is taking any heat, and I think that is ridiculous. I think he is this chosen son of NFL media, and it's great because he's really likable and really personable, and I really enjoy any appearance he makes. He's a really funny guy. But if any other quarterback, if a lot of specific quarterbacks, but if any other quarterback generally had had the fourth quarter he did against the Vikings, they would have gotten destroyed. I mean, he threw a costly interception at the beginning of that whole run to kind of start things off for the Vikings. He fumbled at the – if anybody else just fumbled at the goal line, they would be an instant meme. He threw
It's a bad snap, RJ.
Oh, it's a bad snap for Josh Allen, but it would, you know what I'm saying? Like, he threw the game-losing interception, and like, on the first interception – look, I'm not trying to like be the football guy, or whatever. Like, I've never played in the NFL, so I don't know how difficult this is. But he's like chasing down Patrick Peterson and lunging at him and trying to punch the ball. Josh, dude, live for another day. Like, you are way too important. Like, you don't have to prove to us how, like, you know, tough you are. Like, you don't have to be smashing through tables guy all the time. So I think the Bills are in a weird place where they don't know how to handle the heat that comes with being the heavy favorite that they are to do some impressive things this season. But that being said, I don't really believe in this Browns team all too much. And so I just wanted my thoughts on the Bills out there. I'd love to see them kind of right this ship. They have a chance to do it very quickly playing on Thanksgiving, get two easy wins and slow this skid a little bit. But I do think there are very fair questions about Buffalo right now, but I'll take them to cover.
Yeah, Browns have been waxed by some teams this year. Patriots put a beating on them. Dolphins just did. Browns really need a win here in one of these next two games because they're 3-6 right now. And the damage honestly might be done already, but they have Buffalo this week and then the Buccaneers next week. And if you drop to 3-8 by the first time that Deshaun Watson is able to play against this old team, the Texans, then, you know, you're probably done. It's a lost season. If you're 4-7, like, okay, maybe you still can hold on and have some hope and make a run, but probably not. But at least there's some kind of thing of hope there, a glimmer of hope if they do. But that said, I do not think the Browns will win. I think the Bills will bounce back. Really not concerned about them coming off of that loss. Thought some fluky-ish things happened against the Vikings. I think they're going to be fine. I don't think Josh Allen is going to continue to turn the ball over in the red zone at the rate that he has.
I agree with BLG. I'm going to take the Bills in this one. But RJ's right. Josh Allen has not been great the past couple of games. It's okay to say that. It's okay. It doesn't mean that he's not a great quarterback. Doesn't mean any of that. But when guys play bad, it's okay. And we should call them out and say that they have been bad. Good players are still capable of making bad plays. And he's made a bunch of them. Again, I just don't think that's going to continue. That's part of the reason he is as highly thought of as he is. But I will take the Bills and I will give the 7.5 points. BLG, let's go to New England now. The Jets are coming to town. Patriots favored by 3.5. If you're the Jets, this is a game you have to win. Yep. The Patriots have owned you. You've got momentum. You've got a good record this year. Do you think they can do it?
Well, also because the Patriots beat them. You can't go down here and get swept because their Jets are 6-3. Patriots are 5-4. For the Patriots to have that head-to-head tiebreaker would be really big in those wild card standings and in that division. So Jets really need this game in addition to what you just said there. And I think I'm going to buy into it. I think they need it more, so they're going to get it. I'm going to take the points here. I'll take them to win outright, but I'll take the points as well, the 3.5. It's tough because, again, I don't buy Zach Wilson. But I think the Jets have enough going on elsewhere. RJ's favorite coach, Robert Saleh, who was going to be the first head coach fired this year, was not, and instead will lead. The Patriots and their offense, like, which is not good. I don't think they're good enough to sweep the Jets. I think the Jets deserve more respect than that. I think they'll be able to win this game.
I agree entirely. I've already apologized to Robert Saleh. Again, I picked Zach Taylor to be the first head coach fired last year. We'll see. But I'm so reluctant. Like, everything you said, Brandon, makes sense, right? But like, if there's one you know, situation where like we get Charlie Brown, it's with the Jets, right? Like it's of course they can't do it. Of course they can't get over the hurdle. Of course they can't beat the
Patriots. Old Jets,
right? Like this is the like self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm most afraid of. I do agree that Robert Saleh offers a difference, you know, as far as recent history within this organization, but man, it's so tough. I think, you know, we mentioned this on the NFC's mixtape again, but if the playoffs began today, all four AFC East teams would be in it. And the Jets are currently the top wild card. They're not just like squeaking in, you know, by the skin of their teeth. They are the top wild card ahead of the Buffalo Bills. They already have half of that tiebreaker. And so this is important. I mean, it is a super duper important game. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to win the division, but they could totally be playing a playoff game. And I'll take them to win. I'll lay the points, but I will fully admit this is the pick that I'm least confident in this week.
This game is going to be such a slog. Just off the top of your head, do either one of you know what the over-under is for this game?
29.
38. The Vegas thinks this game is not going to be high scoring at all. I want to pick the Jets, but there's just one thing I can't get out of my head. Bill Belichick owns Zach Wilson. In three games against the Patriots, Wilson is 0-3 with two touchdowns and seven interceptions. I don't like the fact that if the Jets are going to win, they have to hide their quarterback. It's really hard to hide your quarterback. And I think the Jets are the better team, but Wilson is reckless with the ball. I can't get that image of him rolling to his right and then just throwing the football down the field, not intending to hit a receiver, trying to throw it away and it getting intercepted. It's hard for me to shake. So even though I want to take the Jets, I think I'll take the Jets and the points, but I don't think they're going to win the game.
I think Zach Wilson's coming off the best pass rating, if I'm not mistaken, of his career last game. So maybe things are clicking for him a little bit. But I mean, to your point about hiding the quarterback stats, I feel like the Patriots kind of have to do that too. So it's
true.
Not great.
Yeah, not a good quarterback matchup there. Let's move on. Lions in New York to take on the Giants. The Giants are getting 3 points in this game. RJ, we know where you come down on this. Is there anything else you want to add?
I just wanted to say, you know, the Giants are such a like average defense on first and second down. And they like morph into like the third best defense in the NFL on third down. It's amazing how this is happening. They're also one of the best defenses in the NFL, specifically in the red zone. And again, like, it's possible that all these things like hold up, but they're so weird. And like, they can't keep, you know, like hitting on 20, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they're doing. And like, there's only four aces in the deck. And so it kind of feels like they're running thin in that sense.
A couple of points here. Number one, I believe RJ called Dan Campbell a fraud. Dan Campbell, who was able to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Okay. Mike McCarthy, right. Somehow was not a fraud, but couldn't
Dan
do
Campbell,
that.
Who got smoked by Mike McCarthy
anyway,
straight up.
So that's
insignificant here, right? Okay,
I agree. You're right. So the other thing is that I believe, RJ, you've said no one gets more credit for losing than Dan Campbell, right? That's the phrase you've used?
That's true.
I mean, that's false. It's Justin Fields now. But anyway, I'm going to take the Lions to win this game outright. I feel not amazing about it because Daniel Jones, mobile quarterback, able to run. Lions have not been good against that. See the aforementioned Justin Fields in a loss last week. Jalen Hurts had a lot of success on the ground against the Lions all the way back in week one. That's an issue for them. However, I think there is something to the Lions playing better recently. Like, I don't think that's nothing. And I also said prior to last week's game, Giants-Texans game, I felt like the Giants were going to lose one of the next two here because everyone's like, oh, they're going to beat the Texans and then they're going to beat the Lions. Slow down. Giants are obviously a good team. I don't think they are a great team. I think they are due. That's my constant theme of the episode, really, is this due. They're just due for
everyone's due stats except for the Eagles. They can avoid the due.
They had their loss. They had their loss.
The Giants have lost before, too. Anyway, why do they have to be due multiple times and the Eagles don't?
I think the Giants are due more recently for a loss, especially against a team that I think no one thinks has a chance against them. Although the line is certainly lower than you would think for a 7-2 team versus a 3-6 team or whatever. But give me the points. I think the Lions end up winning this game.
It's really weird that, like you guys have said, in a league where the Colts can beat the Chiefs, that somehow the Giants have not had their kind of like weird loss on the year. And maybe this is it, but I don't have faith in Dan Campbell. I just, The Lions are the Lions, and they've been so bad for so long that now the big fight with them is just, we don't even ask them to win. Now the big fight is, well, they're better than their record. Like, okay, what even is that? Like, I'm sorry. I'm all the way out.
They have won. They just won their last two games. Those are good wins.
Congratulations. The Giants, their
last win was against the dude who you think stinks. And so you're over here.
Apparently he's great. So it's a great win.
They both can't be true. And they barely beat him. So like they barely held on to beat the dude you think sucks. But the Lions are back, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants. I'll give the points. I'll keep fighting that battle. Maybe it's just I just want to fight the narrative, but I'm going to go with the Giants again. Moving on, the Commanders, coming off their win over the Eagles, are in Houston to take on the Texans. BLG, Texans are getting 3 points in this one. Tell us how dominant the Commanders are.
I mean, the Texans are just bad. They're the worst team in the league. DVOA will tell you so. Most metrics will tell you so. And specifically in this matchup, what is the best thing that Texans have going for them? It's Damian Pierce. The Commanders are good at stopping the run. So this is an easy call. I did not take this as lock of the week, but this is like lock of the week territory for me. I will easily take the Commanders. Like, why aren't they favored by more? Why are the Texans like normal favorites? Commanders have what? Won four of their last five or whatever? Or what, three of their last four?
I think four in a row.
Well, they lost to the Vikings though.
You're right.
Yeah. No, it's not four in a row.
So yeah, I mean, but like, why are the Texans standard home favorites? That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, absolutely, give me the points.
Stats, I wanted to correct you. You said the Commanders win over the Eagles. It was the Commanders routing of the Eagles, to be very clear.
Bad.
Them out, right. Out physically, out grinding.
My mistake.
The Eagles. Embarrassing the Eagles on Monday Night Football.
Until
it was not
time.
A two. Did you see the score? It was not a one score game.
Until so, the garbage time.
Did you see
play,
the score?
Yes.
What does the score
until
say?
The final
what
play is, of the
what,
game.
What does the history book say? Because
yeah,
it was not
it's
a one
score
game.
One score game when the stats matter.
Interesting. Yeah. Again, we can move all the goalposts for the Eagles, but nobody else. Anyway, this Commanders team stats. You know, Brandon had to give them flowers begrudgingly this week, but I think you should be scared of them, because I think if they're coming for anything, it's San Francisco's wild card spot in the NFC. Like that's their thing right now. Like I think the NFC East title is going to come down to, you know, one of the non-Commanders teams. But Washington can totally be a playoff team. And that game against San Francisco late in the season is potentially going to swing this thing. Like this is a team lurking. I will eat some crow on Ron Rivera. What he did on Monday night was very, very, very impressive. I think the large of his tenure in Washington has been underwhelming. And I think we've given him credit for non-coach things that have been important, like stabilizing the franchise, stabilizing the culture in the way that he can only as the head coach. And I think we saw those things play themselves out on Monday night. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how they lose to the Texans. Like the Texans. Run. The Texans shouldn't exist. Didn't the Texans kick a field goal last week down whatever it was? Like, what is that? Like,
did,
that is such a surrender, like, mentality. Like,
that's a Lovie Smith special. That's what that is.
Relegate this team. Like, they're embarrassing.
Ron Rivera did something that Mike McCarthy couldn't do as well and beat the Eagles backup quarterback.
Right. Well, Mike McCarthy beat Ron Rivera at home, which Nick Sirianni couldn't do.
The Washington Commanders are fun to watch with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. He does some stuff that maybe makes you scratch your head sometimes, but it's fun. It's interesting. And now they're winning games.
He bought some green and white Jordans this week, stats, because he beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football.
Oh, well done. I like the Commanders with an actual functioning quarterback, which, you know, a couple years ago, I was a big fan of Washington. I thought if Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to start all year, they could make a run at the division. I thought they had pieces there. Carson Wentz stinks. Taylor Heinicke comes in and all of a sudden, the Commanders look pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I'll take the Commanders in this one. I do agree about that wild card spot. I was cursing the Eagles last week because I really needed them to beat Washington. So thanks for letting me down, BLG. I put all the blame for that on you, but I will take the Commanders in this one and I will feel pretty comfortable about it. Let's go to Atlanta now. The Falcons are hosting Justin Fields and the Bears, RJ. Justin Fields is coming off the second most yards any quarterback has ever run for in a game in the history of the NFL, 178, I believe it was. Are you going to take Justin Fields over the Falcons?
I think that the take that I feel most stupid about having at any point this NFL season, like offseason or regular season, was a few weeks ago when I thought the Falcons could be like a cute wild card team. Like I feel really stupid about that right now. I know I wasn't the only one, but I'll kind of own that. I was kind of like buying it. I can't believe they beat your stats. We talked about how the Titans have like the most impressive losses. Your Niners have the most embarrassing losses. Like
it is losses.
Astounding the teams that the Niners have lost to, including this Falcons team. I maintain that part of it, you know, was the uniforms that day, which you didn't buy into. So embarrassing moment for you. I mean, the Bears are fun too. Like what a turnaround for the Bears and the Commanders. They're not good enough to even beat the Lions apparently, but I think they're good enough to beat the Falcons. So yeah, I can't believe that Atlanta's favored. I mean, again, the kind of the standard home spread here. I'll take Chicago. I feel good.
I feel like I'm just gonna get zapped by Steven. So I'm just waiting for that.
Do it, Steven. Do it.
There it is.
I don't really have anything here other than I love Justin Fields. I hope he keeps dominating on the ground and maybe complete some passes, and maybe the Bears will actually get a win. I think they can do it against the Falcons.
And then just for my pick, because I get to make the pick still, Falcons -3.
Ooh. I'll say this about Justin Fields. At least the Bears are finally doing what they should have done with him from the beginning. Uses mobility, do play action passes, let him run. Let him run. If that's the best thing he does, run the hell out of him, and hopefully he can, you know, develop as a passer along the way. But damn, man, like, he was drafted this high because somebody thought he had some sort of skills, and at least we're getting to see a little bit of those, and they don't look like the dreck that we have seen them look like. They're interesting, they're fun. I'll take that any day of the week, especially
isn't it amazing? Because Mitchell Trubisky is like not Justin Fields, but athletic, right? Like he can run the ball a little bit. Isn't it amazing that Matt Nagy saw both of them and was like, "Throw the ball. We got to throw this 1,000 times. Like, come on, guys. Chicago Bears football."
Look, I know that BLG's freaking out, and I realize that Fields has not been great as a passer. As a runner, he's incredible. Like it's like great. Lamar Jackson 1 as a quarterback and Justin Fields 2 in terms of just speed, difficulty in tackling. He is fantastic at that. Doesn't mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Doesn't mean he's going to be a good quarterback. It means he's really good at that one thing, and that one thing may be enough to beat the Falcons because they can't even get the ball to their best weapon. Marcus Mariota cannot throw the ball to Kyle Pitts. He's been inaccurate on over 25% of his passes to Kyle Pitts. The Falcons stink. I'll take the Bears.
Stats, I want to say one last thing while we have the luxury of BLG being zapped. He knows that the Eagles visit the Bears in a few weeks and his day of reckoning is coming.
But
that is going to be like Justin Fields' signature
win.
That's going to be like the moment that like in the offseason people hearken back to, like, remember how you played when they beat the Eagles? And that will be like an annoying, like when you eat popcorn and the little pea sticks in your tooth. It's going to be that.
No, he's going to lose the game, but it's going to be close. And so people are going to give him all sorts of credit, and that's what's going to have to bother BLG for the entire offseason. All right, let's move on here, and we're moving to Indianapolis. Colts. Wait a minute. I must have this wrong. The Colts must be getting 7 points against the Eagles, right? There's no way the Colts are favored against Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Eagles are 7-point favorites.
Yeah, sorry.
We also discussed this in the locks segment, so good job, Stats.
Wrong on my sheet. Philly coming off the loss. RJ, we'll start with you.
I would love.
All right, he's done.
Wow.
the cowardice to zap me and
make your pick.
I will take the Eagles.
That's right. BLG. Oh, wow. Oh, Eagles are going to, wow. They're just, you know, it wasn't just one bad loss. They're actually really bad, according to RJ. Eagles are going to bounce back. Really not too worried about it. I think it's actually nice. Typically, you know, might not be the best thing, off the, you never like a short week on the road. I think that's actually a good spot for the Eagles to be in after that bad loss on Monday, kind of flush that and get back to winning, which they did for 8 straight weeks before last week. I think if we're going by sample sizes, I think there's much more reason to believe in that sample size than the one sample size on Monday night. So I like the Eagles a lot in this game. Like if the Eagles had won that game, which they didn't, this line, even if the Colts had won, would it'd be like 11.5 right now. The fact that it's only 7, like that's an overreaction. It's an overreaction. It was low as 6.5, by the way. It's gone up to 7. Like that's a steal, I think. For the Eagles have absolutely been a way better team. The Colts rank 29th in point differential and 31st in DVOA. They are not a good team. I know part of that was when they benched Matt Ryan and he's back. So certainly I think they're a little bit better of an iteration than they were at their lowest points this season. They're not a good team. Their offensive line can't block anyone. It's just not a good whatever pieces. Darius Leonard's hurt. I think the Eagles win this game and win this game comfortably. They get back on track. Nick Sirianni, who is like one of the candidates for coach of the year, is going to outcoach Jeff Saturday, who I was talking to our friends from Stampede Blue. They were talking about how Jeff Saturday didn't even know how to operate the like equipment on the sideline last week, like the you know, the radio and the headset and everything. So yeah, I will take Nick Sirianni, who will be out for revenge since the Colts fired his basically
his boy Frank Reich
and Frank Reich and probably the Eagles 2023 offensive coordinator. So lock of the week, Eagles win this game and they win it comfortably.
This is the annoying thing. And for the record, I'm taking the Eagles and the points easily. The annoying thing about this game is here's what's going to happen. The Eagles are going to smoke the Colts, but no one's going to drag Jeff Saturday because they're going to say, look, he beat the dumpster fire Raiders and he played. Well, they played the Eagles. The Eagles are really good. What do you expect? So he's not going to get the criticism that the Colts deserve for this stupid, stupid move. We're going to have to wait another week until we start to see them look really, really bad and have him get blamed about it. But look, last week, the Eagles had to fumble twice. The refs had to miss a face mask. A lot of stuff. Washington hit a 58-yard field goal and a 55-yard field goal. A lot of crazy coin flips had to come up Washington in order for the Eagles to lose. I don't think they're going to lose. If they lose this week, I will be stunned and maybe start to rethink them a little bit. But sure. I don't think that
you should if they do.
Yeah, I don't think that is going to happen. I think they're going to schmatz the Colts. Give me the Eagles, and I will give the points. Our last early game, Rams in New Orleans to take on the Saints. Saints are favored by 3 points. Matthew Stafford looks like he's going to be back for this game, but no Cooper Kupp, RJ.
I just think it's hilarious how much coping is happening on this episode of The Look Ahead. But anyway, the Rams are the Josh Allen of teams. Nobody wants to do anything. Nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants to, like,
what?
Like the symptom that we talked about, like not getting, you know, discussed or not having like pitfalls discussed or mistakes discussed. Like if I mean, the Eagles or the Cowboys, like the Eagles have gotten more, you know, what was the word you used? Schmutz? What was that word?
Schmutz?
Yeah, I don't know that word.
Yeah.
No, like schmutz is like a little something on your face.
No, not schmutz. Schmutz. They're going to get whooped. They're going to get beat. They're going to get schmutz.
Schmutz sounds like gunk, like, but whatever. So like the Eagles have gotten more crap for losing, right? The Cowboys have gotten more crap. The Niners got more crap for losing to the Broncos than the Rams have gotten for this whole season. Like how? You're supposed to be the reigning Super Bowl champs. Injuries, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. You're supposed to be the team. Do the Rams thing. Make your trades, whatever. Like this team, it is so like – it is so annoying how like the, and I hate to be like the guy complaining about the national media, but like they shower this team with affection, adoration, and force them down our throats when they Cinderella their way to a Super Bowl. But when they stink out loud, they just ignore it. Like, welcome to who you really are, Rams. Like the team who gets ignored. Nobody cares that you're in LA. Nobody cares that NFL Network headquarters are next door to your training facility or locker room or whatever. Like you are insignificant. The Saints are going to blast them, Stats, because they are a better team than the 49ers.
Rams suck, man. They're really bad. The Saints are not good, clearly, but they've had like some good games this year, done some good things. Like they shut out the Raiders, who are terrible as well, but like they have something to them where the Rams, I just don't think have like, what have the Rams done this year? What is their biggest accomplishment this season? Like, what have they really done? Rams stink. I would love for the Saints to lose this game because, as you know, the Eagles own the Saints' first round pick this year. It's at number 4 overall currently. I would love for that to continue to rise or at least stay there, but I don't think it will. I think the Rams win this game. Or sorry, the Saints win this game, and they win it easily.
I have a question for you guys. When you talk about draft picks and you say higher, do you mean closer to one?
Or higher in the draft order.
So when you use the term higher, you're saying like that's like the team has a worse record.
Just say better. This is going to have
a
better pick.
I look at the draft order
pick.
On Tankathon and higher up on the page.
So higher is closer to one than it is infinity. Right. That's just an interesting like, you know, thing that happens every year.
Because the number, the number is lower, right?
But the number would be higher. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where the confusion comes in.
Well, it's interesting to some people. I will take the Saints. I will give the 3. The Rams are not good this year. None of their problems are fixable. Their offensive line is terrible. Now they've lost their only offensive weapon in Cooper Kupp. Look, it's a bad year. They went all in. They won the Super Bowl. If they stink this year and miss the playoffs, who cares? That's why they're not getting criticism, RJ, because their plan worked. And if now they have to be bad for a year, it was worth it.
I'm not like coming for Aaron Donald, believe me, but like, were the Texans not more competitive with peak JJ Watt than the Rams are right now with Aaron Donald? Like, find a way. Like, you know, like, this is, like, you know, like, this is embarrassing. Like, no, it's not all his fault, but, like, what, did he do anything last week for them against the against Colt McCoy? You know what I mean? Like, find a way. Do something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be more here. Than, and, like, there has to be more than this, like, punt give up attitude. Like, oh, we won the Super Bowl last year. Like, I think the Broncos are embarrassing, but the Broncos, to their credit, have not really been satisfied with winning the Super Bowl 7 years ago. Every year, it's like, okay, we got to fix it. We got to find a thing. And they have failed miserably. But, like, the Rams are so comfortable just being like, we won the Super Bowl, man. Like, back off. Chill. Go watch the Dodgers in the spring.
Look, I'm no Rams fan, but I don't know. I don't.
There aren't any stats. That's why nobody talks about them.
That's true. But I just, yeah, I don't know. They're not very good this year. This is going to be the first year. No, not the first year. But it's the first year under Sean McVay. They're not going to be 9-7. Like, they're actually going to be a bad team. That's
McVay's. Well, that was true before the season started.
McVay's worst record. What I'm saying is, like, his worst year ever with the Rams was 9-7. They're going to be worse than that clearly this year. But, like,
they're going to be a losing
team.
Yeah.
It's one bad year. Oh, well. Let's move on to the late games. Finally, we get the most interesting game of the week. Cowboys in Minnesota to play the Vikings. Vikings are getting 1.5 points coming off the game of the year against the Bills. If you haven't seen the clip of the Vikings radio voice, Paul Allen, calling some of the big plays in that game, go on Twitter or TikTok, search for KFAN. It should come right up. It is unbelievable. Paul Allen is one of the best in the business. Let's start with you, BLG. I want to make RJ wait a little bit. Cowboys, Vikings, where are you going?
I'm unafraid of his thoughts, by the way. I'm not using my zap here, just so, okay. So we're clear.
You're unafraid of my thoughts.
Well, someone who's you were afraid of mine.
I didn't know someone totally isn't in your head. I am unafraid of your thoughts.
Right.
Nice to know. By the way, that Paul Allen clip, a big reason why, and obviously, you know, like, team announcers are usually, you know, more homerish, so not, like, shocking, but, like, a big reason why I think it speaks to the ethos of, like, SB Nation and us, and why, like, being, like, a fan supporter of the team is okay and fun and makes for good stuff, not just, like, just passion. I'm just objective. I'm gonna call the game down the middle.
Right.
Like, no.
Can I add something on Paul Allen real quick, Brandon? Last year when the Cowboys played the Vikings, Stats helped me get in contact with Paul, and just on a whim, I reached out to him to record for us. He gave me an hour, like, didn't know me whatsoever at all, and said, yeah, here, I can do it this time, whatever. And nice. We planned to record for 30 minutes. He went for an hour. We talked about life and all sorts of other things afterwards. He was just the coolest. You know, like, my point is, like, the dude you saw in the clip, that is authentically who he is. He is a wonderful human being.
Well, unfortunately for him, he's going to have to call a loss this week, because I'm going to keep rolling with this theme of teams are due. The Vikings are due for a step back. They've been getting so many breaks in these one-score games. More than one thing can be true. They're a good team, yes. But they've also been reasonably fortunate. Bill's safety knocks that pass down instead of trying to intercept it last week. Justin Jefferson doesn't make one of the best catches of all time on 4th and 18. They don't win the game. So I think the Vikings are due for a loss. I think this is another overreaction situation, kind of like I painted the picture with the Colts and the Vikings. I think people are overreacting to the Cowboys' loss. Again, they were up in that game 28-14. It wasn't like they were struggling in a huge way. And then the Vikings, I think people are going to overreact to that just because they beat the Bills. So I like the Cowboys to win this game. And really, coming from an Eagles perspective, it's nice because I'm happy with either of these teams
coping. I do want to say very quickly, Stats, I think you locked the Dolphins 2 weeks in a row. And Brandon, yes. This is your second week in a row locking the Cowboys. And that was Brandon's rule that we could not lock.
I locked the Eagles.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. But you did. Wow. Didn't you lock the Cowboys 2 weeks in a row? Oh, they were on their bye. You did two Cowboys games in a row, but they had their bye. So you got away with it. But Stats, you did break the rule by locking the Dolphins up 2 weeks in a row.
I needed a win. Okay. I had one win on the year.
I'm just saying, you guys are, just you, Stats.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, good call.
Thank you.
It's like an anti-tiebreaker. If we come to the end of the year and we're somehow tied, Stats, you get a negative tiebreaker.
I'm fine with that. Also, because Stats wanted to count his ties as ties, like, they're losses. Like,
they are ties.
No, you're supposed to help people win money. Something I've said this week at Blog on the Boys is, like, Brandon, you talked about it. Like, you don't have to butterfly effect that Vikings game a lot to make it a loss, right? And you don't have to butterfly effect the Cowboys game to make it a win, right? Like, we're a handful of moments away from 2-7-2 teams. But people, like, when the odds came out and the line came out on Sunday and I tweeted it out, I got all this, like, how is this? Why they just beat the Bills? Yeah, they beat the Bills because they came back from 17 points down. It involved a 4th and 18 heroic catch. It involved an incredible perennial quarterback collapsing, you know, in a manner that he got absolutely no criticism for. And the week before, they had a big comeback as well. Again, I think it's funny how every team except for the Eagles are due in their own specific ways, but the Eagles can avoid that bugaboo. I mean, I think the Cowboys were kind of due, and I do, I hate like doing this because it goes against like logic, or I have no logic to support it. It's like lame football cliches. I do think there was something to like Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur and all the Packers fans like wanting it more than Dallas did last week. I think personally, and I speak for myself, I put a lot into that game and I wanted it very badly, but I do think that the current Cowboys brass is like, who cares, man? Like, you know, we weren't there when Dez caught it. Like, you know, like we, you know, some of us were on the wrong side of 3rd and 20, but like, that's y'all's thing, right? Like that's something that has nothing to do with this generation. In fact, I had Trayvon Diggs on at Blogging the Boys this week. Everyone should go listen to it or watch it. He referred to this game. He said, this is the one. I thought it was strange how he was more hyped about it. And I thought maybe he just kind of said that as like an offhanded thing. Dak in his media session this week, he said, this is a playoff game. And he said, we know how important this game is relative to the NFC East, relative to the NFC. They didn't speak like that last week. And some of this was like, they were only really asked about Odell last week, but still, like, I do think that they themselves have established a higher level of importance to this game because it is more important, right? Like the Packers game was all about emotion. This is all about fact. If the Cowboys win this game and win on Thanksgiving Day, they'll be 8-3, right? And I think we all, stats, I asked you this last night over Slack, it's very conceivable, right? But on paper, it's like, well, how are they going to beat this 8-1 and 7-2 team? I think there'll be 2 8-win teams, by the way, because obviously I picked the Giants. And I know this is annoying for you, Brandon, but if the Packers beat the Eagles next Sunday night, which looks more difficult after Thursday night, obviously, Dallas would be the more likely team to win the NFC East based on projections. I mean, like, it is truly, this is the most important week for the Dallas Cowboys all yep. season long. We're recording this on Friday. By next Friday morning, they can dramatically swing things. And if we live in that hypothetical, if Green Bay does beat Philadelphia or Philly falls to anyone that isn't Dallas down the stretch, Brandon, I mean, Dallas is in contention to be the number one seed in the NFC by having this win over Minnesota. That's the same tiebreaker that the Eagles currently hold over them. And obviously, if Dallas leapfrogs them in the division, it works out for them too. I believe in the Vikings long term, obviously, but they have shown that they're willing to fall down big time in certain games. And the Cowboys have shown that they're able to build these big leads. I think lost in that was they had a 14-point lead entering the fourth quarter. They blew it. They deserve all criticism in the world for that. But they did establish that. And so I like their odds to win this game, and I'll lay the 1.5.
Just one thing real quick. The other side of that, you know, it's if these because they could feasibly lose both of these games too. You're 6-5, tough shape.
That's why that would open the most important week.
That would open like this is an important week for the NFC, because if that happened, then the Giants are the team. You know, the Giants right now, this is not talked about because like Cowboys and Eagles fans really hate each other, and like Giants fans are like, what about us? We're like, nah, you know, whatever. but the Giants do control their own destiny against the Eagles right now. The Cowboys don't, but because the Giants, it's true. Is that not literally true, Brandon?
I mean, so do the Eagles, though. You could say the same thing. The Eagles.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm talking about the Giants. Like, the Giants mm-hmm. have 100% control over their own destiny right now in the NFCs. The Cowboys don't. The Eagles do. But if the Giants won out, they would win the NFC East and presumably be the number one seed in the NFC, because we think that the Vikings are going to fall at some point.
See, that's how weird would that be? The Giants being the number one seed in the NFC would be like the Titans being the number one seed in the AFC last year. Everyone would be like, yeah, they're not that good. But you're right. This is a huge week for the Cowboys. I think it's safe to say like both of these teams are really good, and whoever wins this game, I don't think you're going to be able to definitively say like, oh, they're so much better than the other team. Like, no, chances are you flip a coin and 1 week it would come up one way, next week it would come up a different way. I do wonder if the Vikings are going to be able to bring it, though. That was such an emotional game against the Bills. There was such a swing there where Kirk Cousins gets stopped at the goal line. Then you're like, oh, my God, we got a chance to beat the Bills. Then all of a sudden, boom, you're back up again. It takes a lot out of you as a team. And like you said, RJ, I don't think the Cowboys were invested as much in last right. week's game as the Packers. So I don't know that it was this big emotional game for them. I do not like Mike McCarthy. And especially the bigger the spot, the less I like Mike McCarthy. And this is a big spot for the Cowboys. But I think the Vikings are going to kind of be spent a little bit, honestly. So I think I'm going to take the Cowboys in this one.
I wanted to add one last thing, just on, like, generally, get ready for like an onslaught of these two teams if you're not a fan, because this is America's, or it's not America's game of the week, but it's CBS's number one game. So like a lot of the country is going to watch this game, and both of these teams play on Thanksgiving. You're going to get the Cowboys Giants that we just talked about and the Vikings. Stats. Actually, Brandon and I were talking about this. What is the like thread between the Vikings and the Patriots meeting on Thanksgiving night? Like, you know how there's normally like, remember there was the Niners Ravens, like it's the Harbaugh brothers. Like, yeah. what is the angle? Yeah. Like what's the thing here?
Vikings Patriots.
That's the nightcap.
Can you think of anything?
Brandon came up with one that was funny, but it definitely isn't real.
It's a stretch, but it's, well, so you've got nothing then, right?
No.
It's hard. It's Kevin O'Connell was drafted by the Patriots.
By the Patriots,
third round.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, no, I don't.
But whatever, like, is that not the most like random pairing? Yeah,
who cares?
Why do we need
the only thing?
The Patriots in prime time, like, do the networks not get that we don't care about the Patriots if Tom Brady is not there? Like, well, that's the only reason people cared about them before.
Yeah, interconference game.
They are on Thursday Night Football the week after. So you get back-to-back Thursdays of the Patriots. Great. They play the Bills. So we're going to get a lot of the Cowboys and Vikings, the Bills, and the Vikings. I said the Vikings already. The Patriots, too.
Let's keep rolling along here. We got a couple more late games to get through. Cincinnati is in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. The Steelers are getting 4 points in this one, BLG.
Give me the points, baby. I know maybe it's not going to be the case that the Steelers are going to sweep the Bengals after beating them in week one. But TJ Watt being back for the Steelers is like a huge deal. They are basically hopeless without him, 1-9. When they have him, they have a chance. They have a chance to win the game. I think Minka is going to be back too. So, I think I'll take the Bengals. I think the Bengals can win, but I think it's going to be a close, competitive game. Could come down to a field goal. So I like the points in this one. We talked earlier in the show when Mike Tomlin is an underdog, let alone a home underdog. Yeah, the points are too tempting to take. I'll say the Steelers win it, but I definitely like the points. I feel less sure about the pick. But I feel good about the points.
I would like to apologize for something I said in a few recent weeks and saying that I felt better about the Chargers than I did about the Bengals. That was a weird day for me. I do think we're sleeping a little bit on the Bengals. I think this is actually the, like, what? How is 4 points? Like, I know Jamar Chase is gone. That's got people spooked. By the way, on the subject of the Bengals, there was a great write-up. I don't remember who wrote it off the top of my head in The Athletic this week about how the Bengals, it was like a look at halftime procedure through the lens of the Bengals, like what they do. It was so interesting just because that's one of the few things in the NFL that there's like no access to, right? Like we kind of like, has anybody ever watched a halftime in an NFL locker room unfold? It was really, really interesting. So go read that in The Athletic. I'll take the Bengals. I mean, the Steelers stink. Like they stink, but they're wearing their color rush uniforms. And those are the best color rush uniforms in the NFL.
Yeah. Stock down Steelers. When they tweeted out that they were going to wear the color rush uniforms, they tweeted a quote from The Dark Knight Rises from Bane, except in that movie, Bane blows up Heinz Field and the team that's supposed to be the Steelers falls into the hole.
I think that was
a little weird by the Steelers, but
do you know who the player running in that clip is?
Yeah, it's Heinz Ward.
Well, you didn't say that, so I get credit for it.
Okay. I'll take the Steelers and I will take the points. I don't like Cincinnati. I agree totally with the TJ Watt take. Like, it is remarkable how much of an impact he has, but it's clear at this point he has it. So I will do that. Next up, Raiders in Denver to take on the Broncos. Broncos giving 3 points because the Raiders are a dumpster fire, but so are the Broncos. I sent you guys a tweet this week that Russell Wilson is... He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's calling Seahawks audibles out there. And all the players are like, dude, we don't know what you're talking about. This Denver experiment has been a complete poop show. That said, I gotta take the Broncos.
The censored version of the word you just said, poop show, is very funny to me. The alliteration not being there. The Raiders have been so pathetic, man. Like, why? I can't do it. I know the Broncos have not been good. They are probably the most painful team to watch in the league, right? Like, all their games are not fun. Like, but
at least they have a good defense.
Well, that's the thing. They've been competitive. I know they lost the Raiders earlier this year, but I don't think that's going to happen again. Their game since that Raiders loss, 3-point loss in overtime, 3-point loss in regulation, 7-point loss in regulation, 4-point win, and then 7-point loss last week in regulation. So they're at least like competitive in these games. Can't really say the same for the Raiders week in and week out. So give me the Broncos.
there's that line in Billy Madison when they drop the poop off on the old man's like door, and he's and the old man calls it poop, and then Billy says he called the S poop. That's what you did, Stats. So I hate both of these teams, right? Like, I mean, who what do you like?
Love on Russ it? Though.
I mean, well, Russ has given me a lot of content, and I appreciate that. But he's taken the fun out of like doing the impersonation. Like, it doesn't feel fun anymore.
It's true. He hasn't earned it.
The Derek Carr speech thing was so ridiculous. But you asked Brandon, was it about? I forgot who you asked it about. But like, what do they have? I think it was the Rams or whoever. Like, what do they have going for them? Like, what does either team have here that like you like? There's absolutely nothing. And let me be very clear: this is like scraping the bottom of the barrel, the tiniest little crumble I can find. It's the Raiders care, right? Like I mean, I think the Derek Carr speech was silly, but like, there's some semblance. Like, the Raiders are embarrassed. You're only embarrassed if you care about something. I think the Broncos as a whole are so disassociated. They're so detached from this season. Like, Russ is detached. Nathaniel Hackett is just waiting, right? Like, that has got to be the worst spot. Like, just waiting for this regular season to end, just biding your time. And so I kind of, like, again, I'm taking the crumble here. Like, I think that care matters. I mean, this is Josh McDaniels' return, right? Like, if you, again, like we're looking for anything we possibly can. This is more about a lack of belief, or a larger lack of belief in the Broncos and Russ than it is any sort of belief in the Raiders, but I will take Vegas.
I think there's a chance the Broncos defense outscores the Raiders offense in this one, honestly. But yeah, I agree with everything that was said. But I'm still going to take the Broncos because I think the Raiders are just worse. They're
it's
worse.
Cold
There's...
outside because I am in the icebox.
The icebox. Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox.
This is like not even not mad, just not amused, just nothing.
Disgusting.
Daniel Hackett of SB Nation NFL show host.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football takes us to Los Angeles, where the Chargers are hosting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Chargers coming off a bad loss to San Francisco. BLG, where are you going?
You want to zap me for this one, Stats? Or, no one has anyone other everyone used their zaps?
No, because we're unafraid of each other's commentary.
I mean, you're very unafraid of my thoughts. I'm going to put that on my tombstone.
well, that would be the most rent-free thing of all time. But thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you gave it to me. So, I mean, RJ loves to poop on the Chargers. When the reality is
they love to poop on themselves. I'm not the one pooping.
I don't know how you can take any pleasure in that when they're just missing like this the amount of players that they are. It's insane. Like it's
everybody
poops. It's a huge deal. Joey Bosa is like TJ Watt level impact player. Like, you're missing him and you're starting left tackle, and the quarterback hasn't been right, and they don't let him throw down the field. Like, there's just two.
They don't let
Keenan Allen.
Oh, Justin
and
Herbert
Mike Williams.
Is such a prisoner.
Like, you can go on and on. Like, they're just. It's one. I know teams deal with injuries, but these are like literally like how many? If you make a list of the Chargers' best players, like it's all of them, basically, or at least like whatever, like seven of the top eight or whatever you want to say, not eight of the top ten. Like I just, it's too much to overcome, and it's just I don't get how you take. Steven Serta points out that Chargers have 15 players on injured reserve. Like they're too banged up. If they're healthy, it's a different story. They're not. The Chiefs will win this game easily.
I thought Steven did a great job on the gauntlet this week. He and Kyle talking about the biggest frauds when it came to wild card contenders in both on both sides of the NFL. And the Chargers barely escaped not being the biggest fraud because of the Indianapolis Colts. For what it's worth, the Commanders were in contention for the biggest fraud, the same Commanders who destroyed the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football, just so we're all clear. The frauds outfrauded the frauds. Anyways, the Chargers are frauds, but they're like so like, you know how we were like, oh, the Colts got so lucky that they played the Raiders. The Chargers are so lucky that the Colts exist, because if not, like, they'd be taking this heat for being this, you know, like the Chargers don't have their stuff blow up because like everybody, like every week somebody manages to do something that is the stupidest thing that week. The Chargers are just like averagely great at being stupid, but they never have the like massively stupid thing that happens to them. And nobody cares. Like, there's such this, like, they're so like void of any kind of criticism. This team stinks. And the fact, the idea that anyone thought they were anywhere near the Chiefs in the offseason is hilarious. Like, they are nowhere on Kansas City's level. They're going to get blasted. I would like Steven to tell us how the Chargers are frauds and how the Chiefs are great, though.
The Chargers this week in practice, also, there's been a lot of hype around Keenan Allen's back. Mike Williams is back. Keenan Allen limited all week. Mike Williams limited all week. DeAndre Carter limited all week. Gerald Everett limited all week. So
irrelevant.
Those are four of their five top pass catchers in that offense. And
say the F word, Steven. Say it.
They are frauds.
There we go.
They're absolutely frauds. And I think the Chiefs are going to win this one pretty easily. But the Chargers, in all fairness, do tend to play them pretty well. Like, the defense has a good system for slowing down the Chiefs a little bit. So it might be a little bit close, but I think the Chiefs win by double digits.
I was amazed at how little Justin Herbert tried to throw the ball downfield against the 49ers last
week. He's trapped, stats. He's told not to do it. He's a huge victim.
The Chargers could have blown the 49ers out. They got opportunities to score in that game, and they could not get touchdowns. The Niners defense held them to field goals. It was massive in the game. But even with all those guys out, like, they were there on the doorstep and they couldn't do it. So I think Herbert does deserve some criticism. I still think he's really good.
He had a chance in that game, stats. Like, you're supposed to be an elite top five quarterback. You have the ball to go do something important at the end of it, and you don't. Like, that, you have to eat something for that. And nobody gives him anything whatsoever for that.
Who should Justin Herbert be targeting down the field right now?
Is he a top five quarterback?
He has eligible receivers.
You didn't answer my question. Answer my question.
He has eligible receivers.
Who should he be targeting down the field right now?
We've seen Aaron Rodgers make it work.
You won't give me a name.
Patrick Mahomes makes it work with Byron Pringle sometimes.
Give me one name who he should be throwing.
No, like, it doesn't matter who the names are, because he has to find a way.
Why can't you give me one name?
But BLG, we have seen Justin Herbert make mutant throws, like, doesn't with guys
name.
With no separation.
What
it doesn't matter.
What would it take for it to be Justin Herbert?
Give me one name.
What's the difference, BLG?
Who is there to throw the ball down the field to?
And is it his fault?
Wait. Hold on. What are you saying? Because I want to be specific here. You're saying that there is no way for Justin Herbert to fit a ball into his wide receiver because his receivers are so bad that there is literal, the coverage is perfect.
Why do I need
to give you a name?
What are you talking about? I'm saying, like, you're like, oh, he's not throwing the ball down the field. Who's he supposed to be throwing the ball to the downfield to right now?
His receivers.
He's literally not doing it.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, who is getting open down the field that he should? Who is the deep threat on that team?
But that's the point. We've seen Justin Herbert make throws where guys aren't open.
And I'm somehow losing the argument.
You're leaning on this semantics of the name thing when you won't answer, like, at what point is it his fault? Like, at what point is he held responsible for not even challenging, regardless of who his pass catchers are?
More than one thing can be true. I'm signaling, like, a circle motion. It's part of the pie, for sure. But, like,
circle motion.
But who is he supposed to throw to?
He could throw to Jalen Guyton. He could throw to...
No, he can't. He's on IR.
All right, sorry. I'm just
see. That's my point.
But so what, BLG? They still have receivers. They still have players.
Four of the five receivers, the top five receivers.
Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer.
Is your argument that the Chargers are trotting eight players out there offensively with literally not a human being at wide receiver?
Right.
No, I'm just saying it's not like he has amazing options to throw the ball down.
But he
doesn't even have, like, a decent option.
Who is Daniel Jones throwing to right now? And I'm not elevating Daniel Jones, but, like, name a receiver on the Giants.
Richie James, baby.
I mean, like, you know,
they're not good. The Giants are
also
not great.
But this argument can't apply only.
The Giants have seven wins.
This argument can't apply only to Justin Herbert. Who are the Saints supposed to throw to right now? Who are the viable receivers on the Saints right now? Like, we can't, like, be like, the Saints stink. Oh, but the Chargers. Oh, my gosh, they're so devastated.
Yeah, but look at the flip side, BLG. Look at the 49ers receivers. Is Jimmy Garoppolo putting up all-star numbers with the 49ers receivers? Well, no. So just because you have good guys there.
You're hurting our argument here a little bit. Here,
no, but just because you have...
10.6 yards per reception in his career, by the way. That's your deep threat.
So
I mean, that's a first down.
but BLG, you clearly...
That's terrible.
Clearly what the Chargers have done so far is not really working, right? So why not try to do a different thing?
Well, sure,
because
do it.
Continuing to
I'm
do
just
what they're
the
doing.
Aren't great.
But
who
that's
is Derek,
what we're
who
saying.
Who is Derek Carr supposed to throw to?
Oh, Devontae Adams.
I mean, but Waller's hurt, Renfro's hurt. Like, you know what I mean? You could play the game the same way. Like, but we sit here and we kill him. Like, you know, it's ridiculous to be like, oh, only Justin Herbert gets a pass for, like, players being injured. I mean, I'm not saying he has to throw for 500 yards, but, like, he cannot be, like, inept. I mean, they cannot be this bad, and they are.
here's what I'm saying. You, part of the reason it's you want this franchise quarterback that we're talking about is because they have to elevate the people around him. And sometimes the more the chips are down, the more you have to lean on that quarterback. And Justin Herbert's best strength is the fact that he can make throws that are just – Patrick Mahomes said it this week. Justin Herbert makes throws that even he can't make. And so I feel like what the Chargers' only shot to win is that they just have to tell Justin Herbert to be Superman, and he doesn't even look like he's trying to get out of the phone booth, if that makes sense.
Do you guys know who caught passes for the Titans last night? Treylon Burks, who everybody thought was terrible. Robert Woods.
First round pick. That's so bad.
No, but like everybody thought he was terrible. Like you can't like shift the narrative.
Draft Twitter loves Treylon Burks.
Stats took all the victory laps over the asthma thing. Austin Hooper.
People thought Jamar Chase sucked because he had a bad.
Austin Hooper caught four passes for 36 yards last night
for the
Titans.
Or whatever.
I mean, like Robert Woods. Like he is making it work with Robert Woods, who's coming off a torn ACL.
RJ, so we can just move to the next game.
Yeah, I think we need to just finish up with the Monday night game because we're talking in circles at this point. Niners, Arizona in Mexico City. Arizona is getting 8 points. Picks only, one sentence. RJ.
The San Francisco 49ers will win and the Arizona Cardinals are irrelevant.
The Cardinals are frauds.
Wait, what? You didn't pick anybody, RJ. You're taking the Niners and giving all the points?
The word I said was literally win, but yes. So I thought it was implied, and now I had to offer more than one sentence, but yes. So good
make
job.
Your sentence good.
Well, the point spread part doesn't count as a sentence.
But... Okay, the 49ers will win and cover because the Arizona Cardinals stink.
Yeah, the Cardinals are frauds. 49ers minus 8.
The Cardinals are going to cover the spread, even though I think the Niners will win. That's going to do it for this edition of the SB Nation NFL show. Please rate, review, follow. Please send us your Justin Herbert thoughts, since that seems to be the big argument on the show. Who is ultimately right? How much criticism should he get? Leave it in your review. I promise you, we will read it on the show. Gentlemen, I wish terrible luck to both of your teams. Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, come with me.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.